Hi, this is Andrew. Before we get started on today's show, it would really help us if you could go to wherever you get your podcast from and like and subscribe. And if possible, leave us a five-star review. Thanks.
Irish really carries the memory of the Irish people. John O'Donoghue, who wrote Anam Chara, meaning soulmate, he said, "When you steal a person's language, you leave their soul bewildered." And I really felt that. Colonization has had a huge impact in Ireland. Alcoholism plays into that, racism, violence, so many different issues. And I think relearning our native language and recognizing its power and its place in Ireland could be a really healing, decolonizing act of freeing ourselves. Ireland is at a stage, I think, where we're able to be the best of ourselves. You know, when you think about it, the Republic is relatively young, and Ireland has looked at other nations, seeing what makes a country vital. And now it's time to kind of go back, I think, and see what is Irishness all about? What's the best of it?
Hi folks, it's Ciarán here from Let's Listen with Ciarán McBrain. I hope you're keeping well. In tonight's episode, we have Molly from Irish with Molly, where she shares with us her mission to revive the Irish language to a global audience. In this wonderful episode, filled with passion, patriotism and pride, Molly expresses her desire to make learning the Irish language accessible for all and fun for all. We delve back into our days where we learned Gaelic at school, and Molly's just showing us how she can transform the learning and the teaching associated with using the Irish language. So what a wonderful episode for those who can remember learning Irish back in school. And for those who don't, well, Molly is a wonderful entrepreneur, so lots of skills to be learned in this episode. Enjoy. Molly, Fáilte don seo, how are you?
Tom Egama, I'm great. Thanks a million, Ciarán. Happy to be here.
Molly, we've got you on tonight, and you are a specialist in the Irish language. You've got a wonderful Facebook page of Irish with Molly. Molly, before we delve into that, tell us a bit about yourself and your background.
I'm from Dublin. I grew up in Dublin, but spent a lot of time in the countryside in County Mayo. A big fan of Mayo, and all my family are from the Midlands. I studied English. That was my degree in Trinity. So I always thought I might become a writer. I love reading. I love literature. And I ended up doing the CELTA, Cambridge Teaching Qualification course. And I really feel it teaches you how to teach anything. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. I was traveling for years teaching English. And then in the last couple of years, found myself nearly as a happy accident teaching Irish. So I had no idea there were so many people around the world with this craving, with this appetite to learn our official, national and endangered language. So it's been an amazing journey, and I've met some wonderful people, and it's just growing and growing. So at the moment, yeah, I'm on Instagram and TikTok more than Facebook, but I do webinars and I have some courses, and I'm really enjoying delving into the mythology and the etymology of the language.
Sounds fantastic, Molly. And are you doing this full time or are you still teaching?
Full time. Yeah. So it's a lot of work. I have a few thousand students now on my courses. So every day I'm writing back to comments. We have an open Zoom room. People are practicing from all over the world, like New Zealand, Morocco, Scandinavia, Chile. It's really, really crazy. And today someone told me they have a Connemara pony where they live, possibly Germany. And they said he might be a better behaved boy if I speak Irish to him. So
very good.
It's really lovely. It's really heartwarming to know that Irish is making a comeback and that people are really investing in cultural identity.
I think it's fantastic, Molly. And, you know, I'm a perfect example. When I was at school, I hated Irish and lots of my friends did, you know. And, you know, regrettably, my grades weren't too good. But now as an adult, I wish I studied more when I was that age. I wish I knew more about the language. And I actually bought an Irish book a couple of years ago. You know, beginners, but it was a very hard learn, to be perfectly honest, very hard learn.
That's the thing. There has been a desert of materials out there. And that's what really inspired me to create my courses, you know, so many quizzes, all these exercises, different tasks, and kind of to gamify it, because people associate Irish with drudgery and resentment, let's be honest. A lot of people growing up in Ireland, and people around the world wouldn't believe us. They'd say, how? It's such a magical, soulful language. It's so pure and humorous and tender. Why would you disregard it? Or why isn't there that passion and pride there for the language? And that's something I would love to instill in people and to inspire and to help us remember that Irish really carries the memory of the Irish people. And John O'Donoghue, who wrote Anam Chara, a spiritual guide, he passed away a few years ago, but I'd highly recommend his book, Anam Chara, meaning soulmate. I've just finished. But he said, when you steal a person's language, you leave their soul bewildered. And I really felt that, you know, colonization has had a huge impact in Ireland. And you can theorize on different aspects of that, you know, whether alcoholism plays into that, you know, racism, violence, so many different issues. And I think relearning our native language and recognizing its power and its place in Ireland could be a really healing, decolonizing act of freeing ourselves. Ireland is at a stage, I think, where we're able to be the best of ourselves. You know, when you think about it, the Republic is relatively young, and Ireland has looked at other nations, seeing what makes a country vital and fun and, you know, progressive. So I was growing up in the 90s, and we had a lot of American culture and even British culture. And now it's time to kind of go back, I think, and see, what is Irishness all about? What's the best of it?
Molly, I'm loving your passion. Where does the origin from?
I've always been really interested in languages. And since I've been traveling so much, developing such a, you know, patriotic pride for Ireland. But I think more so, it's a link, I feel, to our heritage and identity. A lot of my students will say they're the main motivators for learning Irish. And I'm a very passionate person about what I care about. My grandmother inspired me to create my courses and to get into Irish teaching. She was a Gaeilge, and she worked for An Uaige and used to cycle the length and breadth of Ireland, visiting different hostels. So An Uaige is a hosteling institution in Ireland, and she really brought the language alive for me. And it's interesting about our passion and our purpose that I think it can change over your life, or you can start investing in other things. And a lot of people need to reflect on what are their values and what is really giving them life, you know? So a few years ago, I sailed around the world actually on a UN-sponsored NGO called the Peace Boat. And I thought, what'll I do now? Because traveling was kind of my biggest dream. And then it kind of deepened into, what does travel really mean? And what does home mean? So I think that gave me a great sense of, I don't know, maybe the meaning of who we are, where we came from, and the diversity in the world, how the different lens on perspective you can get from different languages and different cultures.
Well, you've touched a spot with me by saying identity. Now, I've been out of Ireland for nearly 20 years, and here in the UAE, you know, we've a massive Irish community, and we're all getting to an age now where we're getting on and we're having children, and we're all sending our children to Gaelic football club, you know, to Dubai Irish soccer club, you know, to Irish music lessons and you know, dancing and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, this all comes from pushing our identity. We don't want to lose our identity. Would you say the same push and passion and drive for this is happening at home?
Great question. I think in certain parts of the country, you'll definitely feel this humming vibe, you know, to keep the GAA alive and thriving, you know, a few Gaelscoileanna popping up around the country, which is amazing. And people getting back into different arts that maybe have been fading over the years. But it's beautiful to hear that the culture is so alive in the UAE. And I can see it with my students who are international. They are so lit up by everything that makes them Irish, and so passionate about investing in it and keeping it a key part of their identity and who they are. And I think it might be stronger outside of Ireland, that when you think of growing up in Ireland, you might take it for granted. Or there's this mindset that makes people close off a little to the language, for example, or traditional music. And I love to see, for example, trad house coming into the fore, you know, like Chasing Abby and this guy, Fairy Mac, I think is his name. He did a remix with the High Kings, to see how we're making Irishness something fresh and new while nurturing ancient parts of our culture. And it's really special. And I think maybe the pandemic has something to do with it, that people were kind of shaken up, you know, what's going to happen? And what are my dreams? And what are things that I've really felt, okay, I don't want to die before I do this. So different passion projects. And that's really what got me into teaching more Irish, to be honest. Teaching one-to-ones online, people all over the world, they felt a bit trapped, or like they only had their family for company. So they wanted to introduce a new face on the screen. And I think also the hipster movement, you know, people enjoying crafts more and kind of wholesomeness.
Well, it'll take me back to your own education and your own Irish teacher, for example. You know, my particular Irish teacher was an absolute lovely man, but he wouldn't be the most creative teacher, to put it that way, you know, in the 90s in Ireland. And potentially that was my problem. There was just no connection there with what I was learning. You know, what do you think was the issue back then when we were learning Irish at school, and potentially the way it was taught compared to what you're doing now?
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky that my mum was a primary school teacher, so we had quite a positive atmosphere of Irish and education in general at home. My school was pretty strong in Irish, despite not being a Gael school. But secondary school, a lot of people have this experience where suddenly Irish isn't just something to hear in the classroom. It's you have to write an essay and you have to learn this, you know, old poem that you really don't care about. And the curriculum doesn't seem playful. It's not joyful. It's not relevant. And so a lot of teachers themselves don't feel comfortable or confident teaching it. And there is a deep problem with the mindset. People might hear their parents or their teachers or the news talk about how futile learning Irish is, and how, why would you when you graduate and there's, you know, not many jobs require you to speak Irish, and yet you're forced to learn it for your degree or for your leaving cert. So your future seems to rely upon doing well in Irish, English and maths, and Irish is a real pain for a lot of people. So I think for me, the best bits that really made me feel Irish is a living language was going to Connemara every summer. I went to a Coláiste there at Gaeltacht, and I started dreaming in Irish, you know, making friends in Irish. It was very strict. So actually they kicked me out a few days before the the course ended because they overheard me speaking English. And I was devastated because at that time we didn't have mobile phones and I didn't have anyone's landline number or address to write to them. So I was on the train back to Dublin from Galway and my parents were furious that, you know, I'd got kicked out. So I managed to get a scholarship for the following year because I was like, no, that wasn't fair at all. You know, they didn't give me a warning. Anyway, I went back and I became the head girl after a few years. And that was a really beautiful experience. And I wish it was open to more people around Ireland. You know, the Gaeltacht, it can become a bit of an elite thing or a bit of a, you know, not everyone gets to go. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of pressure. People, I think it should be built in to schools. You know, it should be funded. It should be something that everyone can experience because it's so integral to our culture. And it really brings the language alive for children and teenagers. But still in school, I don't think I connected with it in any soulful way in school. And it was only years later after traveling, you know, missing Ireland, having this sense of homesickness and learning how to teach English and learning other languages, I realized there's a logic to every language. There are patterns and these come up in Irish in heaps. And we're never really taught those. We're not really taught the coolest bits of the language, I think. So that's what I like to explore on my channels, to tell people, isn't it mad? Like, there's no word for yes or no in Irish. There's no verb to have. And every word is stuck together with broad or slender vowels. And then it's a verb first language. And only 9% of all languages in the world are like that. So it has so many unique elements where it's the only, it's one of a kind, basically. And it's about a millennium older than English. And the way it is structured, its syntax, has directly affected how we speak English in Ireland. So our dialect of Irish English or Hiberno English is so different to Australian English or American English or British English. And they don't even know what we're talking about when we say things like, you know, don't be doing that in me now, or sure, this is it. People really don't understand us sometimes. And this is all from Irish. So even if people say, I haven't a word of Irish, that itself is an Irish structure. Níl focal amháin agam, I don't have a word. In other languages, you'd say, I don't speak German or I don't speak Japanese. But in Irish, we'd say, níl an teanga agam, I don't have the language. And there's a great sense of, there's no ownership or possession in Irish. Things seem to float around us. Feelings are on us. So we're not defined by our feelings, which is really a blessing. So it gives us a different way of thinking and a different way of being in the world, which is extremely helpful for our mental health.
Well, that was certainly an answer and a half. And you gave me a couple of chuckles there, without a doubt, because there's lots of things that we say. My wife, for example, is English. And there's lots of things I would say that just does not make sense. But an Irish person would absolutely understand where I'm coming from. Molly, moving on to you as a businesswoman. You know, the wonderful thing about what you're doing is, I'm guessing when you were doing your Leaving Cert and studying your Irish, you weren't dreaming of sitting in a computer talking to people all over the world and making a living out of it. Can you tell our audience all about what it is you do, the challenges associated with it, and you know, and what's next for you?
Yes, I never imagined I'd be an entrepreneur or I'd be a businesswoman. I feel like in some ways it's conditioning. You know, women in Ireland, my generation, weren't really taught, you know, what entrepreneurship means, what it is to be creative in business. Business to me felt like a dirty word in a way, like you're being overly obsessed with money, or you're being addicted to power or something. And yet, I think the digitalization of our world and globalization has meant that social media and being online and having a presence and having more of a reach and an audience can generate a very beautiful community with which you can live, you know, this ikigai. I don't know if you've heard of this Japanese word where you do something you love, you're good at it, the world needs it, and you can get paid for it. And I feel very lucky and very grateful to have found something that really makes my heart explode. You know, I'm just so happy to be researching Irish every day, bringing it to my followers and people who want to learn more. And it's just been incredible. So I started my Instagram and TikTok about a year ago, and I looked into kind of making Irish more accessible, simplifying these or demystifying these misconceptions about the language. You know, people are scared of the mokanilach, like the conditional mood. And actually, I made a 90-second reel about it. And people are like, oh, is that it? That's not scary at all. That's grand. So things like that I really enjoy doing. And I think being online can really help. And then now I'm on something like 120,000 followers. Once I'd grown a bit of a following, I created my courses. So these are self-paced courses. We have an open Zoom room. People can connect and chat 24/7. Telegram groups. So that really helps people with, you know, voice notes, and I can give help on pronunciation. I have my daily support as part of that. And there, you can access the course on any device. There's lifetime access. And it's all on my website, irishwithmolly.com. And it's great to feel that business can be what you make it. You know, business is so vibrant and so diverse and can really be socially inclusive and can be charitable and can be for the good of the world and can enhance communities, can bring people together. So I'm delighted that I'm able to do something like this. And it's just very invigorating, to be honest. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question about being a businesswoman.
No, it absolutely does. And it sounds wonderful. Like I say, in your face, the passion, you know, I'm sure clearly inspiring lots of people out there. But, you know, business is not always so easy. And we're a mental health podcast. You know, I'd like to know about your daily routine and what works for you. What do you do for you? Because you're you mentioned 24/7. You're serving many people out there. What about you?
Yeah, there definitely are some challenges. And I think being online leaves you vulnerable sometimes to, you know, burnout. You know, it can be overwhelming having to deal with so many queries or even trolls, you know, saying, oh, is this a scam, a free Irish webinar? And I'm like, yes, I want to deliver free Irish webinars, you know. And so I have realized that my job has completely transformed. You know, 1 year ago, I was teaching one-to-one lessons and it was quite contained. It was like, get up, go for a run. I love running and I think it's done wonders for my mental health. And I might teach from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. kind of thing. And I would have the weekends free. That was after years of kind of cultivating a calendar or a schedule that could work for me, because before that I used to get up at 4 a.m. to teach Russians English and teaching for years. But anyway, now it can feel like it's 24/7 online, and that if I get an email and I happen to be awake at midnight, I should write back because I want to appear, you know, and I am really proactive and really productive. And yet that won't help anyone if it's a bit irritating or if I manage to kind of make a mistake or something like that. So I think what helps is so many different things for me. I do yoga, and I do yoga about 5 times a week. I think that's great to completely switch off, leave your phone at home. I love cycling. I love journaling, and I've been keeping a diary, a gratitude journal. I think this can be especially useful when you're learning a language. So I do it in Irish, and I'd recommend this to anyone learning Irish, that, you know, three roads a willem buich as doing you, like three things I'm grateful for today. And if you don't know the words, you can just simply look them up in folklore.ie or ask me if you like. And it's a great way to enhance your vocabulary and create healthy habits. So it's just three words a day. And you might say like machlan, my family, macherp, my body, macharja, my friends. And indeed, kind of reflecting on the nature of failure, that it's not really something to be afraid of. You know, I'm so proud to be on your podcast and I'm inspired and learning from you. And I would love to have my own podcast. And I'm still a bit, oh, am I good enough to create a podcast? What if it's boring? What if this happens and that happens? Do you know, you kind of have to urge yourself on and say, it's okay. First time you do anything, it's not going to be right. Learning a language, starting a podcast, starting a business, there's always going to be pitfalls and highs and lows and special things you can learn from. So I think part of it is just trying to be present and mindful and realizing you're only human. Things happen. Something's out of your control.
Absolutely, Molly. And you've already got a wonderful resource in your toolbox there. Is that drive that got you to where you are today? You know, the leap from being a teacher to being an entrepreneur, a woman in business, you've got the skill set to move to the next level. So you've kind of touched on my next question is, what is next for you?
Well, I've so many different ideas, and I feel like creativity is really out there when you open yourself to it. It'll just flow. You know, obviously there are moments when you're questioning what's next, but I would love to write children's books, bilingual books for kids like your own, kids around the world whose parents are Irish or who have left Ireland, and also those in Ireland. I think it would be great to have more bilingual material, because I write a newsletter now, and if you want to sign up, it's irishwithmolly.com/newsletter. And every week I send out a bilingual newsletter with recipes and stories. And I want to make Irish more accessible. So with the children's books, it would be simple things like Fado, Fado in Erin, long, long ago in Ireland, where parents, whether they have Irish or not, can read it, can listen to it, can teach their kids, can learn new stories and old folklore through Irish and English, and not have it be a source of fear or shame. It's something to be enjoyed and something to realize this is really part of who we are. So I think, yeah, the podcast, a podcast about learning, I'm thinking, there are so many different things I'm interested in, like psychology and literature and linguistics. So I think that could be a really great thing to explore. I'd love to create more courses, maybe one for parents, one for teachers, one specifically aimed at kids. And I have been writing the last few years, just fiction. So I would love to publish short stories, poetry, things like that.
That all sounds fascinating, Molly, and I wish you all the best. Molly, for listeners, you mentioned your TikTok, you mentioned your website, you mentioned Instagram. Just one more time for listeners in case they want to get in touch with you.
You can find me at Irish with Molly on TikTok and Instagram. And that's Molly with an IE. And you can email me at irishwithmolly@gmail.com. And my website is irishwithmolly.com.
Well, Irish with Molly, I must say, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. I love your passion and I'm sure you're inspiring many people. I follow your Instagram and I love it. And I got to do a little bit more with my children on it. So thank you for sharing your talent with us. I appreciate it.
You're of Mila Margaret. Thanks a million.
All the best, Molly.